Dunabag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to the link listed in my Twitter profile. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Dunabag. This episode, I am previewing the Emmys, which is airing this weekend with Rob Owen. First time for Rob on the podcast. He is a TV talk columnist for The Trib and co-host of Trib's new Pittsburgh Pop podcast with Tim Benz. Easy for me to say. This is like my 5th take on this anyway. So, great talking to Rob. First time on the podcast. We interact a lot on Twitter, and I'm always not sure when I have somebody new on. It's like, how are we going to get along? But he was awesome. Love talking to him. TV is, a lot of people watch TV, but I've been watching TV a lot since I was a kid. My goodness, it's my hobby, and it's kind of my me and my wife's hobby now to watch new TV shows. The problem is some of them are so short. You know, they'll only be one season long, and it's like 8 20-minute episodes. It's like, what is this? We just started watching, and we're done with it already. Now we have to find something else. So we're always looking for a new TV show to watch. So anyway, here is my talk about TV and the Emmys with Rob Owen. The Donut Bag starts right now. All right, so Emmys, as I just said, there's 2 shows, one that really ticked me off that got nominated, and one that ticked me off that didn't get nominated. That really ticked me off, and it really makes me question this whole Emmys, whoever did these nominations, Bridgerton.
Which is totally fair to question.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
So you were ticked off by Bridgerton?
Yeah, I think Bridgerton was a massive piece of crap. I don't get it. I don't get why people I think I get it, why people liked it. I think people like the sex. Okay, fine. Honestly, I don't know. What do you think of Bridgerton? Because I didn't like it at all.
I had a mixed review of Bridgerton. I think my main problem with it was that you could kind of see where the story was going, and then it kept going there and going there and going there, and then it sort of fell apart, and then it went there again. So it wasn't, to me, the way the season was devised was like too long and a little bit padded for the story they chose to tell. But having said that, it was beautiful to look at. It was the most gorgeous soap, I think, of last year. And, you know, it introduced some actors who we hadn't really seen before. I thought the main guy, whose name I'm blanking on, Ridge something. I don't know how.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I thought he was great. I thought there were some, the one, spoiler alert, the one who turned out to be Lady, what's her name at the end. I liked her a lot. And whenever they went to her, I thought that was interesting. I really liked the woman who played she was kind of like the mentor to the main guy. I thought she was fantastic. So I would say I liked the show better than you. And I'm looking at the outstanding drama series nominations here. And can I defend it? Probably more so than some of the others that I've seen, I think. But, you know, would I put a check mark next to it? Probably not for this, but I thought for what it was, other than some storytelling issues, it was a fun soap.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny that I guess people want to pretend that they were in that period now, and they want to do things. It's like, actually, the way people lived back then really sucked. So
right.
Maybe it's let's stick with modern times, okay?
They prettied it up for streaming, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they invented toilet paper yet, so I'm not sure about that.
Anyway. A history expert.
let's look at outstanding drama series. The Boys, Bridgerton, The Crown, Handmaid's Tale, The Mandalorian, Pose, Lovecraft Country, and This Is Us. What do you think? What do you think is going to win that?
Oh, what do I think will win? Probably The Crown. Who deserves to win? I'm not sure, because all of them had, you know, well, the ones I saw, I, you know, in this day and age, as much as I would like to, I do not see everything anymore. So I haven't seen much of The Boys, and I haven't seen, I don't think, any of Handmaid's Tale since season one. So of the remaining ones, what would I vote for? Pose had too much story in too short a period for its final season. Lovecraft Country started really strong and then fell apart a little bit towards the end. This Is Us, I thought, had a pretty strong season. I know it's uncool to like a broadcast drama, but I don't know. Either that or The Crown would probably get my vote. Also, the 10-year-old in me would want to vote for The Mandalorian, because I do think that is a good show. Is it an Emmy-winning drama series show? Probably not, but I do think it is quite good for what it does. So I don't know. I would vote for one of those three probably.
Do the Star Wars shows and the I see WandaVision is nominated a lot. Mm-hmm. Do they kind of get snubbed or looked down upon by Emmy voters? Kind of the way, you know, like you'll never see the Avengers win an Oscar or anything like that.
I mean, you could. Lord of the Rings won an Oscar. So it is in the realm of possibility, if not probability. I do think that anything that is part of a big franchise like that, yes, the Emmy voters do probably look down their nose at it. But The Mandalorian is a better show than any of the recent Star Wars movies. So
I agree.
I don't want to take that away from it, because like I said, I do think it's a good show, even maybe a great show. Is it a Emmy-worthy drama show? Probably not.
I don't know what there was a recent award show that actually broke up the nominees into, like, I think like the broadcast networks got their own categories or something like that to make it somewhat fair. I mean, it's sad because it's, you know, it's like, I mean, you barely, This Is Us might be like one of the few things on NBC, ABC or CBS that are nominated. It's almost unfair. Yeah. That they just get, you know,
there are not many. There's one in the comedy series category, which is Blackish. Mom, Blackish in the comedy series. Yeah. Mom is a good show, but it wasn't nominated.
Yeah. But yeah, This Is Us, I thought was good. The Boys, I thought it's good, but it's kind of, you know, they have their own little take on the superhero stuff, which is cool, but it's like, I wouldn't call it like awesome or anything like that.
Right.
The Crown, I guess it's always good, but I think I like the first season better. When they changed Queen Elizabeth's, that messed me up. That ruined my day. Like I loved Claire Foy. I thought she was great. It's like, oh.
Well, you'll be happy to know then she won an Emmy for her one cameo scene as a guest star this year, reading a paragraph, which seems insane, but she did.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, the main thing I'd take away from The Crown is, wow, those are horrible people in real life.
Well, that's true of a fair number of popular drama series at this particular juncture, especially once Succession returns in October.
Outstanding comedy series. The nominees are Blackish, Cobra Kai, Emily in Paris, Hacks, Pen 15, Ted Lasso, The Flight Attendant, and The Comiskey Method. Cobra Kai, I don't really consider a comedy. And The Flight Attendant, I really didn't consider a comedy either.
No,
but
it was a good show. I liked it. Yeah. I suspect that the winner will most likely be Ted Lasso. It could be Hacks if the alleged Ted Lasso backlash actually turns into a thing, or if it's just people running their mouths off on Twitter. But I think it'll be one of those two that wins.
I loved Hacks.
Wow. I did too. I thought it was fantastic.
Wow. It's kind of my me and my wife's thing is we pick a TV show to watch. And the problem with shows like Hacks is there's only one season and the season's only like 8 episodes. Like we just started watching this. Now we're done. Oh, man. But yeah, Hacks was so well done. Really.
But it gives you something to look forward to. They're writing season 2 now.
Good. Yeah, I mean, Cobra Kai is funny. I mean, I loved it, but then again, I think that's a nostalgia thing, and it's just rare that a reboot, remake, continuation of something from a long time ago is actually good. I mean, look at they redid Saved by the Bell too, and that didn't go so well. I don't know. I mean, I like Cobra Kai. What do you think of it?
I have to admit, I haven't watched that one since season one either, just because there's too much TV right now. But I agree with you from everything that I've read about it. And what I remember from season one is that it did not make me laugh the way Hacks makes me laugh. I think it's just sort of been shoved in here because it's a half hour. Similarly, The Flight Attendant was shoved into this category because Kaley Cuoco is known as a comedy actress. It is a reboot that has been done well, which is why when people say, oh, all reboots are terrible, I always have to say most reboots are terrible. It is possible, the second Battlestar Galactica was much better than the first Battlestar Galactica. It can be done. It isn't often, but it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really impressed by The Flight Attendant. It's weird because we've seen Kaley Cuoco in the same role for 10 years, and something for her to like do that. Something different. That was really cool. It was an interesting concept, but it's one of those things where, do you really need a second season? Cause it's like some of these, like, it kind of falls apart in season two.
Well, and it could well do that. I mean, it was intended only to be a limited series of one season. And then it was the first original show that really popped on HBO Max. So, of course, they were going to order a second season of it. I like her and I like those other characters well enough that I'm willing to go along for a second season. I hope they don't screw it up. They might. But I thought she was so good. And it was a show. It is a rare show that would not have worked but for her, where the casting was so, so, so important and so specific. And, it makes sense that she's the one who developed it and that she's the one who, bought the rights to the book and was the one who wanted to do it, because she is the one who made that show.
I don't know if Ted Lasso is kind of facing the same, sophomore slump. I think it's still good. But it's different. And, the concept of Ted Lasso of, the guy that doesn't really know soccer and he becomes a soccer coach and all that good stuff. It's like, okay, it's like it was season one was like really, really wrapped it up in a nice little bow. And now they're continuing and they're doing other things. What do you think of Ted Lasso season two?
Well, it had been envisioned as a 3-act story from the start.
Okay.
So 3 seasons and done. So Jason Sudeikis has said this is their Empire Strikes Back season. And, I think I'm a little bit behind where everybody else is. I've seen the first 4 or 5 of season 2. And, some people really like the Christmas episode. I thought it was fine. Other people really dislike the Christmas episode. It seemed to be quite polarizing. But overall, what I really like about season 2 is how they have gone into greater depth on the supporting characters. I think they've done quite a good job with that. Not always making them likable. Nate has taken a turn that I'm not thrilled about. But I think probably that is towards, there's a purpose for that. There is a reason for that. And so, I'm willing to go with it, especially knowing that it's only going to be a 3-season show. It's not a huge commitment. Half hour a week for 10 weeks or whatever it is. I can do that.
It's annoying that we have to wait every week though.
Not to me. I like the weekly release pattern. I am generally not a fan of the binge because then, Netflix vomits a whole series out there. There's conversation about it for one weekend and then it's gone. And if that's it's true. An ongoing series, then you're waiting like a whole year or more in the case of Stranger Things to get more of it. So I prefer a weekly release model. I think there is value more so with some shows than others with having time to digest and think about it before you come back to it. I know people have habituated themselves to the binge, but that I guess I'm old school. That was never a model that I particularly liked for most shows. For some, maybe it's necessary, but for most, I'm not sure that it is.
The way Stranger Things is going, whenever that season comes out, they're going to be in an old folks home. My goodness, it seems like we've been waiting 2-3-4 years for this dang thing. Like,
well,
my
goodness, there was a pandemic.
These kids aren't kids anymore.
Right, right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. I mean, you know, I watch those Disney Plus Marvel shows where you can analyze every, they release Easter eggs and you know, you talk about it every week. So that's cool. But then it's like, okay, yeah, we could talk about Ted Lasso for, you know, every week, but at the same time, it's okay, cool. Outstanding limited or anthology series. The nominees are I May Destroy You, Mayor of Easttown, The Queen's Gambit, Underground Railroad, and WandaVision. Okay, I know everybody was talking about Mayor of Easttown. That was I didn't see it. Was that good?
It was fine. I think it got better as it went. I thought it was stronger towards the end than it was at the beginning. The beginning was a little bit cliched. You know, she's a cop, but she's great at her job, but she can't keep her family life together. But I thought it got better as it went. There were some good twists and turns. It's certainly better than American Rust. I probably would vote for The Queen's Gambit, maybe The Underground Railroad, but The Underground Railroad was really hard to watch. So I would say probably I would vote for The Queen's Gambit, maybe WandaVision, just because I did think that in the early going, that was quite good and mysterious and fun. But The Queen's Gambit was pretty good all the way through.
Yeah, I love The Queen's Gambit. I'm a chess nerd, so I was shouting... the chess was pretty accurate. So I was shouting like, okay. She marked them. Oh my god! I'm like doing play by play on a chess match.
Sure.
The thing. So that was really good, and it got a lot of people interested in chess again. So that's really cool. WandaVision. I mean, they did a different decade of sitcoms every single episode. How cool was that? You know,
very cool. That's why. You know, part of me is like, girl, I kind of want to see that get some reward.
Okay. So I missed the snub in the outstanding drama series category, and that was For All Mankind. God, I love that.
I like it a lot too. I'm still on season one just because new shows every week to review gets me. It's very hard to watch everything I want to watch, let alone what I have to watch for work. But I really am enjoying season one of For All Mankind. I've heard season two is even better. Particularly, I think episode 8 or 9 I read was supposed to be really good. So I, even though I have not seen it yet, I was disappointed based on what I heard from people I trust that it did not get nominated, but also not surprised because it's sort of, it's on Apple TV Plus, which is still a little bit under the radar, I think. And, you know, it doesn't have big names. It's, you know, we were talking earlier about do franchise things get snubbed? And, you know, you said there would never be an Avengers show nominated. But look, WandaVision was nominated. So see, the franchise thing can cut both ways. I think it can hurt. And when a franchise thing exceeds expectations and does something different and surprising, then I think being a franchise can help. And, you know, For All Mankind just doesn't have the buzz that WandaVision had.
But God, yeah, there's just too much. Like, I'd say about 30-40% of these shows I've not seen. I've never even heard of.
We are drowning in a sea of content.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, we're at the point where not only have we not recognized some shows, we haven't recognized some networks.
True.
You can make up a network. I could say the Cooler Network, and you say, "Oh, yeah, I think I got that." Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Yeah, it's just amazing how much content is out there. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series. The nominees are Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Michael Douglas for Comiskey Method, William H. Macy for Shameless, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, Kenan Thompson. Kenan, this is Jason Sudeikis, right?
It has. I think so. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I hear that Mythic Quest was a bit of a snub. I don't know. I mean, I didn't see it, so I don't know.
I've seen some of it. I thought it was fine. There were parts of it that were funny and ambitious, but that one didn't feel like a huge snub to me. Not everything can be nominated.
Yeah. I'm watching AP Bio now, and it's cute, but you know, all I can think of is, that's the guy from Always Sunny. That's, you know,
right, kind of... right. Get back and make more Sunnies, please.
That's right. That's right. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy series: Adie Bryant for Shrill, Kaley Cuoco, Flight Attendant, Allison Janney for Mom, Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, Jean Smart for Hacks. I think it might be between Kaley Cuoco and Jean Smart, maybe.
I would think so, and that it would go to Jean Smart, although perhaps Jean Smart and Allison Janney cancel each other out and it goes to Kaley Cuoco. That's a possibility, I suppose. Yeah. But I mean, any of the three of them would be a fine choice, but I don't know. I would either vote for Jean Smart or Kaley Cuoco, just because of what I was saying before about the importance of her to the flight attendant. But Jean Smart is also important to Hacks. So go figure.
Whoever was that other person in Hacks was really good too.
The younger girl. Hannah Einbinder. She's supporting actress and a comedy nominee. Let's see. It's her, Kate McKinnon, Cecily Strong, and Adie Bryant for Saturday Night Live, Rosie Perez for The Flight Attendant, Hannah Einbinder for Hacks, Hannah Waddingham for Ted Lasso, and Juno Temple for Ted Lasso. Among those, I would probably vote for Hannah Einbinder. I suspect the Ted Lasso nominations might cancel each other out, but we'll see.
That's a thing. Yeah. Some of these categories, a lot of people from the same show are nominated, which basically they got to take away each other's votes, right?
I would tend to think so, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series. The nominees are Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us, Jonathan Majors, Lovecraft Country, Josh O'Connor, The Crown, Regé Jean Page for Bridgerton, Billy Porter for Pose, and Matthew Rhys for Perry Mason. Perry Mason? What? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Last summer it was on.
Okay.
HBO.
This is kind of weak.
So I tend to think Rijon Page from Bridgerton may have the inside track on that one. I would normally say Billy Porter from Pose, but since he won it once already, that might hurt his chances. Maybe, you know, depending on how old skewing the voters are this year, I could see Matthew Rhys winning for Perry Mason, or maybe Josh O'Connor for The Crown. I don't know. Or, I mean, Sterling K. Brown is always good in This Is Us.
Has he won before?
I believe so. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure he has. To me, this one, of all the categories we've talked about, this one is the most toss-up of them.
Outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Uzo Aduba for In Treatment, Olivia Colman for The Crown, Emma Corrin for The Crown, Elizabeth Moss, The Handmaid's Tale, MJ Rodriguez for Pose, and Journey Smollett for Lovecraft Country.
I mean, the Emmy voters, actually all awards voters, always love Olivia Colman. They also like Uzo Aduba, but I feel like that did not get a whole lot of buzz. They also always love Elizabeth Moss. I think I would vote for MJ Rodriguez, because as much as Pose was Billy Porter's show, it was MJ Rodriguez's show. She was kind of the heart and soul of that series. She's not won before. I would give it to her for the whole series, not just for this season, because she was always, I think, the person who could draw viewers in who might otherwise not be drawn into that show.
Okay. Outstanding lead actor in a limited series or movie. Paul Bettany for WandaVision, Hugh Grant for The Undoing, Ewan McGregor for Halston, Lin-Manuel Miranda for Hamilton, and Leslie Odom Jr. for Hamilton. It's weird that Hamilton gets nominated. I guess it's a TV
show. It's not. It was a stage show that was filmed. They should not be nominated there. Yeah. So I'm eliminating them. Halston was not good. I mean, I suspect it would go to Hugh Grant over Paul Bettany, but I've never particularly liked Paul Bettany, but I really liked him in WandaVision. So I would probably vote for him in that category over Hugh Grant, because Hugh Grant was just Hugh Granting in The Undoing, I thought. I mean, he was good, but that show was, you know, not the best.
Yeah. Outstanding lead actress in a limited series or movie. Michaela Cole, I May Destroy You. Cynthia Erivo, Genius Arifa. Elizabeth Olsen, WandaVision. Kate Winslet, Mare of Easttown. Anya Taylor-Joy, The Queen's Gambit. This is tough.
That is a very tough category. And I think the toughest, I did not see I May Destroy You, so I can't talk about that one. I really think it's probably between Kate Winslet and Anya Taylor-Joy. I would vote for Anya Taylor-Joy just because she was amazing and a revelation, and Kate Winslet has plenty of trophies already. That said, Kate Winslet worked really hard on her accent for Mare of Easttown. So I won't be at all surprised if she's the one who wins.
Was she supposed to be doing like a Pittsburgh accent or Eastern
Delco,
Pennsylvania accent?
Delaware County, Delco.
Okay.
Accent. Wooder, murder, dirter.
Okay. I've heard that kind of accent, so I can see it. So
yeah,
it sounds like she really immersed herself in the role, which is really cool.
She did. I'm not sure it 100% worked, the accent, but it certainly got people's attention. And the awards shows love Kate Winslet, so I won't be surprised if she wins, even though I would vote for Anya.
I missed one of them, but I know Saturday Night Live got nominated for a lot of things. It's like, what's wrong? To me, Saturday Night Live is just awful right now.
I don't know. I look forward to the topicality every week, and it's very hit or miss. Sometimes they nail it, and sometimes they don't, particularly when they have Jim Carrey playing Joe Biden.
Ooh,
which was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was mostly the women who got nominated from SNL. Kate McKinnon, Cecily Strong, Eddie Bryant. Did any of the men? Oh, Bowen Yang. Oh, Bowen Yang and Kenan Thompson both got nominated an outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series. And I think Bowen Yang's great. And he's not even an official cast member. He's a featured player, whatever that is. So I would not be sad if he won that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there are times, and actually I thought that Bridgerton guy, when he was the host, mm-hmm. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah. I thought he was very, very swift on his feet. And that isn't always the case when folks host SNL.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, sir. Well, thank you so much. You got a tough job having to keep track of all these TV shows. I don't envy you.
It's not digging ditches, but my calendar is somewhat insane to look at with all the premiere dates. That much is true.
Well, I always look forward. I've been following your articles and stuff. I am one of those weirdos, and I don't think I'm alone, that when there's some development in local news or something like that, like a reporter going from one station to another, I go crazy about that kind of stuff. Like, oh my god, she's jumping to another station. Oh my goodness, what's happening?
Yes, you are not alone in that in Pittsburgh. That is, local TV news is a very popular subject, for sure.
And then you gotta take questions from people, and sometimes they're so ridiculous. Did somebody ask one time? I think he said, I really like this one male reporter because he doesn't get pregnant like all those young women.
Oh wow. That might have been a voicemail of the week or something back in the day. But and if it was, it was probably from a woman. That's the one thing that I have noticed is that yeah.
I I can't imagine what every, probably what every female TV news person, the kind of comments they get. Probably people are scrutinizing every little thing about them, their hair, their appearance, their weight, their outfit, stuff like that. It's ridiculous.
It is. But I will say, in my experience, and this is just one person, but in my experience, it is more often women being critical of the women on TV more so than men. But that's just in the email I get. Maybe it's different elsewhere.
It probably is. I know someone was saying, during the pandemic, they were mostly working from home. It's like, how are you? Your hair looks horrible. It's like, well, I'm have to do it myself now. Like,
right. Give them a break. Give them a break. I understand a lot of the complaints with local TV news, but I also think there are times when, you know, we have to remember these are people. They are human. They are not infallible. They will make mistakes. We need to have some grace.
There is some guy in, I think, Australia, wore the same exact outfits for local news every single day for a year. Did not get one comment.
I believe that.
But actually,
I don't. I would get that question. I am sure I would get that question. If Stephen Cropper wore the same thing every day, especially the same tie every day. Now, maybe a street reporter, maybe not. But if it's somebody in the studio, I would get a question about it, I think.
Oh, my. It's crazy. Anyway, hey, thanks so much. This was awesome.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate your interest.
All right. I'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye.